other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Aha! Welcome to Yak Babies. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Aha!
And Brick.
Oh, ho.
Oh, boy. Today we're talking about aha moments in literature, both as readers and as writers. When did you click with the idea of literature, I guess? Sort of, when did it seem less like you read because you're told to, either in school or because you want to complete a story, and more that you're reading for sort of deeper meaning, maybe, or you're sort of getting something out of this text more than just, well, I heard a story and now it's over. And same with writing. When did you sort of feel like you felt that pull or call to write in a way that was more than just idle hobbying or curiosity?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking if I could remember a moment where I sort of realized that reading, that literature and or writing were going to make up like a big part of my life. And I think I approached it more as an adult than as a kid, even though there were moments as a kid where I realized I liked writing, it still didn't click for me that this is something I wanted to build like a life around.
Right.
Until I was older.
Older when?
It was after I quit grad school, surprisingly
enough. So we went to MFA school together, and
yeah, I was still in kind of lark phase at that point, like still trying to figure my way out. And then when I quit the MFA, I was just kind of adrift, and I was, you know, I was working temp jobs. At the time, I had sort of an aha moment. I was working at BU sorting applications, and fuck, it was just opening envelopes and filing, and it was a nightmare. I was so miserable. And it was around the time that you boys started the Chamber 4 website and asked me if I wanted to, you know, review any books. And I had never, you know, I'd written plenty of book reports, but I'd never written a book review before.
Are you crediting me with your career?
In part, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I wrote a couple of book reviews for the site, and I didn't really expect to jump out at me as something I really enjoyed doing, but it did.
Wow.
I thought, hey, this is really cool. I would like to keep doing this. So I did for a while. And then sort of at the same time, I was still doing this temp job, and I just started writing reviews for you guys. Our mutual friend with whom we went to grad school, Shuchi, she at the time was fiction editor at an online journal called Fringe, which had some loose ties to Emerson. And she was kind of overloaded with stories and asked if I wanted to be her assistant editor there. Like kind of a reader, but I took an assistant fiction editor title, which I thought was cool. And that's what it was. It was a lot of reading stories, obviously, and between the two of us kind of working together on what to publish, and then working with the writer on how to publish it, and then working with the other editors on when to publish it. And it was I found it really fulfilling.
Yeah.
Similar to the way I was surprised to find how much I like book reviewing. Same here. I was like, it caught me somewhat off guard how much I liked reading other people's work and kind of being in a role where I could choose what to publish. And so those were kind of twin aha moments for me at a time when I was kind of at least professionally scraping the bottom. So they came at a good time.
Yeah.
And that's sort of when I decided to, in earnest, pursue a life of reading and writing professionally. Yeah. So after I dropped out of grad school, I kind of suspected that might be it for writing.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, it wasn't.
I'm kind of curious about this, the sort of literary dilettante phase. So what pushed you into that in the first place? So what was the sort of aha moment where you started to write and feel like you enjoyed it enough to think about even going to grad school in the first place?
I had some stumbles in as an undergrad, and I ended up dropping out of two schools and then just kind of quitting entirely until I, again, kind of got sick of what I was doing career-wise in my mid-20s, I think. I went back when I was maybe 25, but there still wasn't anything that I really wanted to do. So I sat down with advisor or whatever at the school I went back to, and she and I together found my quickest path through. And that turned out to be English.
Right.
And then within English, I had to choose like a subcategory of it, literature, technical writing. I thought creative writing, again, sounded the easiest. So I enrolled in that, and I took a workshop or two, and I was like, you know, this is cool. Maybe writing stories is something I could have fun with. And then
you're also right. It was the easiest.
Yeah, it definitely was the easiest. Yeah.
It's true.
But even then, I took a year off after that, after I finally graduated, before I went to Emerson.
Yeah.
And I was living in DC at the time. I was working in a bookstore. You know, I didn't have anything. I didn't have a path of any kind, like a goal or any. I did not know what I wanted to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of going somewhere to continue this like burgeoning fledgling maybe interest in writing creatively seemed appealing. Plus the idea, like we talked about in our MFA episode, just the idea of moving to Boston was
right.
Was and having an excuse to do that.
Right.
Grad school gave me that.
Yeah, the John Tremaine path.
Right, exactly.
So you weren't like, there wasn't a young Dave writing stories. It was like, someday this will I'll be doing this at a typewriter.
No, there was a young Dave who wrote a lot of stories as a kid about baseball players,
right.
About real baseball players. It would be like, and occasionally I would make an appearance, but usually it was just like so Robin like, Yount and Paul Molitor are like up to bat in Game 7 of the World Series.
So you're writing fan fiction about baseball that was just like games.
Just games. It was like, as I grew up listening to Bob Uecker on the call the Milwaukee Brewers games,
yeah.
And the prose was as if Uecker was calling a game. It was like, and here's the next pitch. It's a strike right down the middle.
That is fucking amazing.
Yeah, we gotta find
absolutely have to get those.
And it was, you know, and I read a lot as a kid. I knew that I liked to read, but this writing stories, it was more like in support of my fantasy of being a professional baseball player than it was right. About any designs I had on writing.
Right. Right.
It was just like me living through kind of creating the fantasy of the Brewers going to the World Series and like Robin Yount hitting a walk-off home run to win Game 7, you know.
Right. That's incredible. God, I really hope there's like a secret treasure trove of slash fiction there too. There's like players fucking each other in the locker room. Rick, what about you?
My answer is a little different. I can't really think of an aha moment where I decided I wanted to be a writer or whatever. And I think the honest answer to that is because I never did.
Mm.
And I still don't. And I've changed careers and I'm not moving back. So, but the moment that maybe sticks with me most as far as my like literary mindset was, I believe, in ninth grade. It might have been 10th. And I was doing a stand-up in front of the class presentation.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Watership Down, which is a book I've talked about many times, and a book that I certainly had read before. It wasn't like I had just read the book and was doing a book report. And my presentation was basically on, I don't remember it exactly, but the general gist of it was the biblical allusions
mm-hmm.
in the book and how the book was an allegory for some biblical themes, which it is. And I remember another girl in the class stood up at like the question and answer part and asked me what I thought about the political themes about communism and authoritarianism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely railroaded and I didn't have a good answer because I had never thought about them. And I gave a really bad answer. And then like for the next 2 days, I was really embarrassed about what I said, even though besides me, the teacher and that girl, no one in the class knew or cared.
Yeah.
But that's the first time it really dawned on me. There's not a key that unlocks a book. It's interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
She was absolutely right. That stuff is just as important to that book as the religious stuff. Not just Christian, but just kind of, there's a lot of world religion stuff in there.
Mm.
And those things, to really understand that book, I needed to look at both those things and see what else was in there. And it hadn't, you know, when you're brought up in public school English classes, it's all, you know, what's the theme? What's the, you know, it's literally like, it's a very A to B. This is what I'm saying. This is my evidence.
Yeah.
Boom. And that was the first time it really occurred to me that there wasn't a right answer
mm-hmm.
when it comes to books. And, you know, that 25 years ago. So, well, 20 years ago, I guess. You know, I didn't go to college for English. I ended up switching to English.
What'd you go for?
I went for psychology, and then I switched to philosophy and classics.
Hmm.
My career path in college sort of coincided with my drug use, I think.
As you get deeper into psychedelics,
the more drugs I took, the more I wanted. Yeah, I went from psychology to like philosophy and class. I've always liked classics. Like we have talked about Metamorphoses a bunch, and
yeah.
Ancient mythology is something that interests me very much.
Yeah, I mean it's in the same room as literature.
Yeah, yeah. And then I kind of went from there. I was an education minor in college, even though I didn't finish my minor. I was one class away, so I didn't get the thing. Doesn't matter. So I went from classics to, that was a lot of work. Turns out I got up to the point where I really needed to learn Greek or Latin.
Right.
And then I wasn't really into working that hard in college. So I switched to English because I liked that. And I really focused on like Victorian era stuff.
Yeah.
As far as my lit classes, that also turned out to be kind of hard. So I went to creative writing.
Right.
And that's where I finished. You know, as we talked in the MFA episode, the only reason I went to MFA school is because I didn't have anything better to do.
Right. There's a alternate, or like a parallel reality Professor Brick who's teaching classics at BC that I want to see that story too. Like,
yeah, I thought about it,
and it's amazing. That's why I'm very curious about that path.
That was too. One of those things where if the door had been open to do classics grad school as opposed to MFA, I would have done it.
Why wasn't it open?
I didn't have the
prereqs.
Yeah, I mean, I probably could have gotten into one.
I bet you could have.
But in my mindset when I was 20,
right.
I had chosen a different path, so now I had to follow it.
Yeah.
Even though now I know that I didn't.
This is like our sliding doors episode. Like, what if young Dave had been more content in his professional path and never sort of felt like he needed to go back to undergrad and went back, got with the minor leagues, whatever, you know, and ended up playing baseball. Brick over here got his degree in classics, got his PhD, wrote his dissertation. Now he's teaching Latin to undergrads at BC, wearing tweed jackets all day.
Collecting my baseball cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, I ended up exactly where I needed to be. I love my job.
Right.
I'm not even a teacher anymore. I went in for teaching. So all those things led me to where I ended up.
Yeah, this isn't like these are all...
Like back to literally that moment with Watership Down was the first time, you know, that was the first time I maybe stood up and had to teach a lesson on English. And then I ended up making that my job for a while. You know, in MFA, all the things I learned there have led me to be good at what I do now.
Right.
Right. Half my job is writing. It's just not writing creative fiction.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not saying in terms of like these, oh, we'd be so much happier if these things happen. More just like there's just other possibilities, like the myriad of parallel selves that are out there.
A lot of weird shit happened to put
I'm glad I'm not a college professor.
Yeah.
Because I'd be poor.
Well, yeah. My aha moment with literature as a reader came reading The Martian Chronicles in seventh grade. That was when I first clicked into the idea of reading as both an active practice and not just getting from point A to point B in the story, but also that there was like a world of reference and allusion to tap into as a writer. And once you caught those things as a reader, you felt rewarded and you felt sort of more, I don't know, alive with the story. There's lots going on in The Martian Chronicles. And it's probably why I reread that book as often as I do, which is, again, not that often, but still the only book that I reread consistently because of that sort of pivotal moment for me that really felt like I became a more critical or literary reader at that point. With writing, I'm not sure. I don't know that I ever had one. I think it kept happening. I kept doing it and I guess enjoying it and being rewarded for it. I think part of it, at least in my therapist would tell you, that reward and praise and validation does a lot of work for me. So you know, yet praise for doing something creative and writing, even in elementary school, I was like, okay, go, keep doing that then, and I'll keep at that. And that seems to have carried me through until now. So being rewarded or sort of feeling like it's working out or someone likes it sort of got me far enough to go to grad school and then to, you know, somewhat keep writing even to my professional career. Yes, well, aha, we did it.
Good job, Aaron.
He was going to come back and bite me in the ass when I said that. So find us on Twitter at YakBabies or email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. Patreon.com/YakBabies for $1 a month. Find all access to the episodes that we don't put on the main feed because they're too gross or offensive or just too fun, maybe. You know, there's too much going on. There's too much loosey-goosey and you have to pay to get that shit. So give us a dollar and get to it.
Open the sluice gates to fun.
All of them. tell your friends about Yak Babies. If they're into writing or reading or things like that, let us know. Let them know because they would enjoy this podcast probably. It's good. So there it is. Yak Babies yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft. TV.
Oh.